Christmas disruptions. Well, when I asked Helen to talk about how her baby daughter was born on Christmas Day, I had no idea about her other Christmas story. But you know, it's a great reminder that God can break into any of our lives at any time and bring blessing, whatever age we are. And the story from the Bible that we've just heard reminds us too that there were actually quite a few people whose lives were disrupted that very first Christmas time. We're going to think about two of them this morning. And the first person we're going to think about is Elizabeth. Now, some of you were in church a couple of weeks ago when Norman told us the first part of Elizabeth's story, how she was married to Zechariah, you remember, a priest in God's temple. And they weren't a young couple. Maybe she was the same sort of age as my sister and I are now, or maybe they were a bit older, I don't know. But what we do know is what kind of people they were. They were good people. They loved and served and obeyed God. But for all that, we read that for Elizabeth and Zechariah, something was missing in their lives, something that they wanted very, very much, and that was a child. They'd very much wanted a baby. They had prayed and prayed and prayed over the years asking God, but now, well, it was really too late. They were much too old to have a baby. And Norman told us the story from the book of Luke of how one day when Zechariah was serving in the temple, an amazing thing happened. An angel appeared, a messenger from God, and he gave Zechariah some incredible news. God had heard their prayers. He and his wife Elizabeth would have a baby boy, a very special baby who'd have a special job of preparing the people for God's promised saviour, God's promised Messiah. Do you remember how Zechariah reacted when he heard that news? Well, he couldn't believe his ears, could he? And the angel said, well, Zechariah, this is all going to happen just as God has promised. And because you didn't believe what God said, you aren't going to be able to speak from now until the time the child is born. You're going to have lots of quiet time to think about this amazing news. And today we've heard what Elizabeth did when she found out that she was going to have a baby after all those years of waiting. I wonder how she found out from Zechariah what had happened, because he couldn't speak, could he? How did she find out what the angel had said? I wonder if he mimed it out for her, or perhaps wrote it down. Well, Elizabeth did know that it was God who was going to bless her and Zechariah with this amazing gift of a baby boy. Talk about disruptions. Her life would certainly be disrupted, wouldn't it, with this baby? I mean, she was quite old. Here she was expecting a child. I expect she felt a bit tired, maybe a bit scared, because having a baby was quite dangerous for women in those years, in those days years ago when there were no hospitals and doctors to look after them. But when God broke into her life in this special way, we see that Elizabeth trusted him. You know, our eldest daughter was born 24 years ago, just a bit before Christmas. And to tell you the truth, although she was born in a lovely hospital with plenty of doctors and nurses around, I also was a little bit scared. Well, my mum and dad were with me just before the baby was born. And when they left to go home, my mum said something to me that I've always remembered. "Don't worry," she said. "Don't be scared. You're in good hands. And I don't mean the doctors and the nurses." I knew what she meant. It was great to have the doctors and the nurses around. But, you know, we can always trust God for what is ahead. And when we trust him, we are definitely in the best of hands. Elizabeth knew that. She trusted God. It wouldn't be easy having a baby and looking after him as he grew up. And she knew that this baby would grow into a man who had a very important job to do. To point people to Jesus, the saviour that God had promised. This baby wasn't going to have an ordinary sort of life. In fact, he had a very difficult life. Luke tells us that while Elizabeth was expecting this baby, she spent 6 months in a kind of lockdown, half a year pretty much at home, a bit like us, away from everybody and thinking about God's promise to her. And then her relative Mary came to visit her, her much younger relative Mary, and Mary also had had some incredible news from God. Mary was also expecting a miracle baby. I don't know if Mary had told anyone about this baby yet. Mary also believed what God had said to her, and I imagine she must have been a bit scared as well. And when Elizabeth saw Mary, we had in the reading, didn't we, that God filled her heart with joy and he filled her mouth with some lovely words. "Mary," she said, "you are so blessed, so happy, so favoured by God. As soon as I heard you coming, this baby within me leapt for joy. I'm so delighted that you are carrying this special child and that you have come to visit me." God broke into my sister's life at Christmas all those years ago. She wasn't an old lady like Elizabeth then. She was just a little girl. But like Elizabeth, she also knew that Jesus is good news for everyone. The coming of Jesus was good news 2,000 years ago, and it's good news today. What about you? You might be old like Elizabeth. You might be very young like Mary. Maybe you've lived with disappointments. Maybe you have wonderful dreams for the future. My sister Helen asked Jesus to be her friend all those years ago on Christmas Day. And if you asked her, she'd tell you that her life since then, well, it's had joys and it's had sorrows. It's had good days and it's had bad days. Just like Elizabeth's life would. Just like my life and your life. But in all those days along the journey of life, Helen will tell you that Jesus has been her friend. He's blessed her. Do we long for blessing, to know God's love and be full of his joy like Elizabeth and Mary? Then like them, we need to look to Jesus. Because when we look to him, when we come to him, we find the love of God and we find blessing, whatever situation we're in. Jesus is the centerpiece of history. Somebody said, the hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. And so we celebrate his coming, the light of the world. We like to celebrate someone's birthday with birthday candles, don't we? Someone's life with birthday candles. And at Christ Church Yule, like many other churches, we light candles in Advent, one on each of the four Sundays in the weeks before Christmas. And we do it to celebrate the life of Jesus because he came as God's wonderful gift to us all. Do you remember when we lit last week's candle, we said that it represented joy? Well, today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, Advent, sorry. It's nearly Christmas. And the fourth candle is known as the angel candle. It reminds us that at the very first Christmas, God sent his angel messengers to bring the very, very good news, good tidings of great joy that Jesus was coming.
Christmas is very disruptive. It disturbs their normal pattern of life. And babies are very disruptive too. I remember when Stuart, her son, was born. A few months afterwards, we went on a short holiday. So we packed up the car with carry cot and pushchair and bath and toys and nappies. There was hardly room for Stuart himself. It was very different from when it was just Val and I and we'd put in a couple of suitcases. And I suspect a baby was even more disruptive for Mary. I suspect there were doubts and fears. How would Joseph react to the news? And what about her family? I suspect there was shame and embarrassment. Neighbours whispering, how is it that Mary is expecting a baby so soon after she was married? And then, of course, there's the long trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. Now, tradition has it that Mary rode on a donkey, but there's nothing in the Bible that tells us about a donkey. I think more likely Joseph and Mary had to walk all the way. Distance of about 60 miles, perhaps 3 or 4 days, sleeping rough by the side of the road. We can identify with disruption, particularly this year with the COVID pandemic. We've had to change plans. There have been disappointments. There's been concern about loved ones and uncertainties about the future. We can react in different ways to disruption, but Mary sets us a wonderful example of how to react. She doesn't curse or grumble. She doesn't become self-centered, but she appreciates God's blessings in all the disruption, and she responds with her praise to God. Sometimes we sing the Matt Redman song, Blessed Be Your Name. It has this lovely line, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. What a great witness it is to God and our faith in him if we can do the same. If despite the disruption, we can see God's blessings and praise his name. And Mary isn't portrayed in the Bible as some sort of superwoman. Praise wasn't her immediate reaction when the angel came to give her the news. It was only after reflection on the implications and only after talking to her friend Elizabeth that she comes out with this song. This wonderful song that we call the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Advent is a good time for us to reflect on what Christmas means. And Val and I have been working our way through this Advent book. Not daily verses, but daily famous works of art and reflections on them by Jane Williams, who used to be my tutor. We've really enjoyed that. Now, there are many pictures, famous pictures of the angel visiting Mary. It's been a favourite subject of artists through the years. But Jane Williams chose this one by Henry Tanner. It shows Mary anxious, concerned perhaps, a little bit afraid, when the angel announces that she is to be the mother of the special baby. And it's no wonder the angel said to her, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary must have realized that this was not going to be an easy path. She must have realized that such a son was bound to come into conflict with the authorities, with the Jewish authorities and with the Roman rulers. When Mary met the prophet Simeon in the temple a few days after Jesus' birth, I doubt if his words to her came as a complete surprise. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. If you look carefully at Tanner's painting, we see that he has deliberately shown a shelf on the wall behind the light that represents the angel, so that we see a hint of the cross. I think it's a recognition that Mary wasn't only going to face the normal disruption of bearing a child, but this child who is to be called Jesus, Saviour, was going to lead a difficult path, a path that eventually led to crucifixion, to execution on a cross. And Mary's soul would be pierced as she herself became the witness to the conflict of his life and to the cross and, of course, to God's vindication when Jesus rose from the dead. Christmas is disruptive, but as we think again of the story of God stepping into our world, of being born as a baby in Bethlehem, I think it's a reminder that he wants to step into our lives, to be born in us. But babies are disruptive. Jesus doesn't want to come in and be tucked away in a corner of our lives, only to be brought out on special occasions. He comes, he wants to rule our lives. And that's likely to mean changes. And Jesus invites us to follow his way for our lives. But that way is the way of the cross. He calls us to love and to obey, even when that is costly, even when it involves sacrifice, even when it involves giving up our time and giving up our money and giving up our comfort. But he also calls us to a life of amazing blessing. Blessing as he sets us free, free from sin, free from the worries and disappointments, free from the false gods that can so easily keep us enslaved. Our final song reminds us that the babe in the manger became the man on the cross. It's Graham Kendrick's song, Thorn in the Straw. And we're going to listen and sing along to that in a moment. But first, we're going to pray together. So let me lead you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message of Christmas, that you love the world so much that you gave your only Son so that we might not perish but have eternal life, life in fellowship with Jesus. We've been reminded that Christmas brings disruption, just as the birth of a child brings disruption. And we pray for those who will struggle this Christmas. Those who've had to change their plans. Those who are disappointed because they won't be able to meet with family and friends. Those who will have a deep sense of loss as they remember loved ones who have recently died. Help us to reach out in love, your love, to those we can help. And we've been reminded that the path Jesus walked led to the cross. And he invites us to follow that same path as we take up our cross and follow him. We pray that you would give us the grace to accept that invitation and the strength to follow in his footsteps. But we've also been reminded that what can appear as disruption can also bring great blessing. And we thank you and praise you that you invite us into your family to experience your love and your blessing, to know that love that will never abandon us or forsake us. Father, we thank you this Christmas for sending Jesus to be our Saviour, our strength and our friend. And in his name we pray. Amen.